it was amazing to see him do it.
I remember the night I ran that as one of the dance tracks of the night one evening, and people in chat were going, "Is that a cowbell?" It pretty much leaves people incredulous. It's just unexpected.
It was used a lot, and now there's a resurgence of it. In fact, Steve used it in his remix of "To Save the Love." He used the cowbell.
Oh, really? And then, okay. And speaking of "To Save the Love," we're going to run that in just a minute. Now, Tom, is it still there? Or did you slay the cowbell?
I'm trying to think if there was a cowbell in that record. I don't remember hearing one.
In the original version, no. In Steve Skinner's remix, yes. In your remix, no.
Well, I still think that's my favorite one of all the ones I've done.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's so nice. Because you know what?
No, I've always told you that. The minute I heard it, I told you that, you know.
And it's just my favorite song of the whole catalog already. And the fact that we're dedicating it to Brian and to Daryl, and the fact that it is a hit. And there's a very, very special thing. Let me tell you about this with "To Save the Love." I just got an email last evening from Generation Q. I'd done an interview with them, with Jake O'Hara. They are doing their full issue starting on Monday, and they're calling it to Save the Love issue. And all the articles that they took a whole month together to put this whole thing together is about saving the love, and they're exploring gay relationships and infidelity, long-term relationships, everything about gay relationships, and they're calling it, the whole banner is "To Save the Love," and they're using my song as the anthem, and they're going to be streaming the video in their website. So I was so honored, and I'm just very thankful. And Tom, the fact that you added such a fantastic mix, and Steve and everybody who worked on that record, and Julian, yes, oh my God, yes, fantastic, fantastic work here.
So it's the version we're about to play is the one that the site is running.
The one that's going on is the video is going on, and that's the one that was done by Mike Kopeck and Tony Spalding, and that's the UK Mix Show mix, and they do mixes for Almighty and Magic Music UK, and that's video. But there is a video mix being done of the Tom Moulton Julian Marsh mix currently right now that will be out in December.
Oh, great.
Wonderful. Now, what is the name of the site again? Where would we go to find that if we wanted to? Because it sounds like a great concept.
Generation Q.
And is it's the full word generation rather than gen.
You can just go to my MySpace page, and all the info will be there.
Ah, wonderful. Well, then that's available off of this.
They originally said it was going to be October 1st, and then they delayed it because they put this whole thing together, and I didn't really quite understand it at first, and now I do, and I'm so honored the fact that they have chosen "To Save the Love" as their banner anthem, and I think it's such a quality choice. I'm just thankful, and the fact that it is, as I said, being dedicated in memorial tribute to Brian, it makes it even more bittersweet.
Wonderful. Well, let's run that. We're pretty much keeping on schedule, which I'm glad to do because this music must be heard. This is the Tom Moulton and Julian Marsh mix of "To Save the Love." Bob, if you'd run that. We'll be right back. absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And one of the great attributes of that track is how well the low end fits. It's very melodic, and it works so well with the rest of the instruments.
That bass line is salacious.
It is.
Well, that's what got me. That's what really got me. That and the those backgrounds really got me too. So
yeah, I also have some very exciting news to share with you about that track. The track has officially made history.
Really?
Right now, this track, To Save the Love 207, which is, as I stated, from my forthcoming new album that I'm currently recording, Eternally, has re-entered the Dance Music Authority chart for not the first time, not the second time, but for the third time after being number one for 8 weeks standing previously.
Wow.
Re-entered at 48 and within 1 month jumped to number 16 with a bullet with no end in sight, which makes the song a genuine classic hit.
Great.
Because there is no other track on that chart that is important or says a message like this record, To Save the Love. And I am so thankful to everybody who has helped it get there. I just want to just say thank you so much, because it means so much to me. And thank you, Tom, because without your input, it would never have happened.
Well, thank you. I bet that song means a lot to me, too.
Well, I could see easily why people love it so, and the fact that it's dedicated to Brian, and you mentioned another person, and I didn't know who the other person
it's
dedicated.
Gerald Carpenter, who was my best friend and my co-writer, who co-wrote that song with me, my next single. He also wrote many of my previous hits, like Follow Your Heart, You Make Me Weak. He was a co-writer with me and Steve Skinner, and unfortunately, we lost him to AIDS. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Tom, it breaks my heart. And the fact, though, that his work can continue to live on, and that's what's the incredible point. Only music survives, and that's what we have to give. If we can give the world back music, then we have given the world something. That's one thing that keeps me going. I've said this before. With everything, all the tragedy I've gone through recently, and it's a lot, the one thing that's keeping me going is the music, recording this new album, because it gives me a purpose, it gives me a cause. And to see this come back and see, like, these mini successes, or actually these grand successes, I'm just thankful, and this tells me, yeah, this is what you should be doing, Ernest. This is what you should be doing with your life. And it's helping me get through and heal.
Well, it is an amazing track. Tom, I have a question for you. Both you and Julian Marsh are accomplished artists regarding remixing and the recording industry. What is it like to work with someone? In other words, is it difficult? Are you able to... How is it for you to work with someone when you're as accomplished as you are?
Well, that's easy. First of all, when I heard the song, I asked Ernest, because I said, you know, Ernest, I'd like to do a mix on what Julian had added to it and done to it. I said, I just feel I could add something more to it. And, you know, I had talked to Julian about it, and he said, oh, he had no problem with it. He said he thought it'd be a great idea to do a collaboration, and that's what we did. And, I mean, I like, that song means so much to me. I listen to it every day. I just love that song so much. It always puts me in a sort of very nice mood.
Well, it is a wonderful song. Ernest, you said something I thought was significant, that what we can leave people is the music, and it's so important. That's
it's
how
really
they
true.
How they know
really
us.
Think about it. Only music survives. If anything I can give, I mean, you can tape somebody's performance, but you know what? That's just the tape of a performance. You can do a performance, but all you have is a memory. You can remember the person in your memory, but with music, you actually can really keep it.
Well, I completely agree, and it brought to mind the fact that while people like you and I know Tom Moulton's name from since we could crawl...
Thank you.
Yes,
growing up, I mean, seriously... I don't even remember what age, but listening to records like Never Can Say Goodbye on the radio, which were Tom Moulton mixes.
I'm glad you brought that out.
Saturday Night Fever.
And Disco Inferno.
Disco Inferno,
yeah.
Hello.
Right.
That's
right.
Tom Moulton, Grace Jones. Hello.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to bring that out, because, listeners, you actually do know Tom Moulton. You may not think you do, but you know him intimately.
Lolita Holloway, Dan Hartman, the word disco.
Yeah, and I think everybody's probably heard the continuous Never Can Say Goodbye side. What was that, about 18, 20 minutes long? How long was that?
It was 18-something. That was the first time that was done like that. That was the first time.
Now, I understand that Gloria Gaynor... reaction was a little bit, maybe, dare I use the words, well, let me just say what she said rather than quantify it. She said to you, well, I don't hear myself singing very much, as if she objected to...
Well, no, when I brought it back, when I mentioned that we were working on the album, and I said, well, I have this idea to put these three songs together and make it a big suite, and they said, oh, okay, let's go for it. And we played it in the office, and she was sitting there, and then I said, well, what do you think, Lori? She says, I don't sing much. And I said, well, I guess you'll have to dance, Summers, part where you're singing. I didn't know what else to do, and I really felt bad because, you know, I was just trying to make a statement with that, and as it turned out, I did.
Well, it's unforgettable, and thank you for having the nerve to do. I mean, you know, it takes a certain amount of nerve to, like, eliminate some of Gloria Gaynor's lyrics back in the day. You know what I mean? That was a ballsy move.
Well, remember those songs, if they were 3.5 minutes long, that was a lot on the tape. So I had to get the other music from someplace. So that's where that creativeness came in. So.
Very good point. Very good point.
And this new album, Eternally, we are doing a suite just like that. And I do hope Tom will recreate his magic again.
Good.
Well, now this. Let's talk about the CD that's called The Importance of Being. How did that come about? Did you conceive it as a concept CD?
Totally, completely from start to finish. That actually, we went in from day one. We had a couple hits beforehand. As I said, Don't Let Me Down. But we actually went in with this whole idea of the concept of doing The Importance of Being. And to this day, I thought it was the hardest thing to ever do, that album. It seemed like a monumental production to ever get through, and to get through it was like, whoa. But it's nothing like this album I'm doing now. It's even a bigger production, you know, a double album and everything. But The Importance of Being, it's really kind of a cool project, because it did come to fruition and it did work. And I have to thank Tom for that, and Stephen L. Freeman, who you probably know his work from Donna Summer and from Hot Tracks, who put their magic to the mixes. And Tom really got in there, and not only did he produce and mix, but he actually wrote some of the tracks on it.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Well, which ones did he write?
He came in and he wrote Love Has Taken Over.
Well, that's wonderful. That's
with
one of the tracks.
And with Steve Skinner.
Amazing. So you wrote the lyrics and the whole thing?
And even got in the booth with me and told me how to sing it and when not to sing it. And didn't let me get away with a thing, did you, Tom?
I forgot about that part.
And he would point at me when I was to come in. It was like,
oh, that's right, because I wanted to try to make it a little more soulful. That's right. I remember now.
Lay back in the track.
I said I want to make it a little darker than you normally do. I remember that now.
Do you remember what I did? Oh gosh, I'm going to get in trouble if I tell this story.
Well, just be careful.
Please tell.
Okay. To freak him out, I came in a little darker shade of makeup. with blue eyes.
That was funny.
But Tom kept pointing at me, and I was like, it's really hard to do to when you're used to singing this type of music, and you really have to be, usually are on the one, and to enter a little bit back.
Like four and, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
or sometimes one and a half, you know, one and.
Yeah, it's on the and. And
being like one and two and three and four.
And four. Yeah. Right. And as the way I got it, the actual real way I got it, I thought back to one of my early dance teachers, Chuck Kelly, who always said, if you can say it, you can do it. And that's the way he would, like, teach a combination, like, or like a tap combination, slap, da, da, and two, and three, and four, and slap, and slap, and boom. You know, if you can say it, you can do it. So count it out, one, and two, and three, and four, five, and six, and seven, and eight. One and two, kick three and four, five, six, seven, turn and eight.
Yeah.
So all this was going through your mind when Tom was telling you that was you're trying to.
But he was standing right in the booth, like less than 2 inches from me, directing me. And when his hand would go down, that's when I had to come out. And when it was up, I had to be out. And
or I would give you a four count. I would give you a one, two, three, four.
And
like
a couple times they pulled the headphones off me because they didn't want me hearing the beat.
Really?
And
that was
just
evil.
Me a bell sound, like, you know, bum. Yeah,
there's my
note,
the cowbell again.
And I'd have to hold my note in my head, so it was coming out of the blue. Do you know what I
mean? Well,
and
I
then
I
quickly throw my head one headphone up to my ear so I would hear the groove, and then it would be down again. And then the hand would go up, and I'd be off.
Well, whatever it took.
But
well, that's remarkable.
The one thing he said is we made Ernest Cole sound funky.
That's remarkable that you two could work together that well without...
Oh, with Steve and Tom and I, it got this energy going between us. It was like magic.
Oh, there was, believe me, there was always this energy the minute, you know, if they were there before me, the minute I walk in, it's okay. Let's work. And you could feel the electricity in the room. I mean, it was just really, it was great. You know, working together like that.
And you want to know what's so interesting? At the very exact same time, they were doing the musical Rent in the same studio. So when we would leave, they would come in and doing Rent, and then they would go out. And the other record they were doing was the new Bette Midler record.
Mm-hmm.
So there was so much positive, great energy coming out of that room. It was, like, amazing. And the fact that this album now has been issued as a catalog album and is always going to be available, that's so cool. It's always going to be available by Unitas Records. So I never in my life, usually an album comes out and it just, you know, after it's done its thing, it goes away. But this album just keeps living. And I have now, I think... Gosh, eight albums that are catalog albums, and that's really cool to become a catalog album artist. That's what one strives for instead of just being, you know, a one-hit wonder or, having a career. It's really, really, it's interesting and it's cool, and I'm really thankful.
Well, Tom, you have a gift, sir. I recognize good music when I hear it, but I wouldn't know how to put it. I wouldn't know how to tell anybody to do it. It's just a remarkable talent that you have, and thank God you're there because you've helped a lot. You made a lot of people happy. Wouldn't you agree, Ernest?
It makes me very happy too. Believe me,
it's so fun working with Tom. I can't begin to tell you. It's just fascinating to watch. I remember I came in one day and we were doing a cover of The Rose, and Tom just walked over to Steve and he went, I hear this. And I said, this sounds like some whacked out country guitar. And it just, do you know
but
what?
But it wasn't.
It what the part that he put in made the record. It made it work, and I'm forever grateful for it. And that record's available on my album, The Portrait of Ernest Cole, Volume 2, which is also a catalog album.
And what is the name of that track, then, again?
The Rose. It's a duet with Katie Agresta.
Oh,
and voice teacher, who is also Stevie Snow's voice teacher, who I do a duet with on The Importance of Being album.
Really? And so this is, of course, the Bette Midler Rose. The Rose.
Yes.
That's right. Amazing. It's a beautiful song. Well done.
And
well, before we get
to Bette Midler's Arranger, and there had never been a dance version done of The Rose, and we were like,
oh no,
why
this
don't
is a
we
dance?
Do it up and do it differently and do it as a duet. And Katie thought, that's perfect for my voice. And I said, it sure is.
So you've
and
done a dance
and
version.
And knocked it out.
Who knew? What a kick! What a kick that is! Well, I'm going to have to look that up and use it on the show one night. But before we get too far away from it, I want to run "Love Has Taken Over," which Tom Moulton wrote, and Tom Moulton stood in front of Ernest Cole and made him do what he wanted. Lord, I wish I had a video of that.
I'll bet you Ernest does too.
Oh, do I?
Well, with that said, let's, Bob, if you would run "Love Has Taken Over." Wow. all I can say is wow. And I am so glad that I intentionally had not listened to that track either until it aired, because I wanted to hear it when the others did for the first time. And I've got to tell you, that is one hell of a track. I just love it. It's got every component of an old Southern gospel, and then the sax kicks in. It's just fabulous. It was genius.
Isn't that sax solo amazing?
It's genius. And questions in the chat room.
Here's a weird coincidence. I was in a store on the Upper West Side like 2 days ago, and I was right by, just standing by the door, about to walk out the door, and who walks in the door but this guy, and he stares at me and he goes, "You're Ernest Cole." And I went, "Yeah." Like, okay, what's
yeah,
that
right
now?
Yeah, where's the gun?
New York City, you never know. You know,
yeah.
I really wasn't looking, I mean, I wasn't done or anything, looking like, you know, about to go on stage or anything. And he went, "Dan Harrison." And I went, "Oh, my God." And it was my sax player. And I hadn't seen him in 2 years. And he didn't know that Brian had passed on. And he now is going to be coming on to do a solo on the new album.
Really?
Amazing.
Good.
Really?
Great.
Yes.
And there are questions in the chat room. People are dying to know who the backup vocalist. Who was that woman? She was fabulous.
Oh, she's really cool. She is a singer-songwriter. Her name is Jeannie McLean. She goes out, or she's had some...
Paper Mache.
Paper Mache, yeah. She's had some success on her own, but she's really a singer-songwriter. She's really great. She's done a lot of work with me, and she's kind of like... she's had some success. She's really good.
Well, the Pepper Mache, that's the sort of name that you wish you had thought of. I just thought to myself, damn, I wish I'd thought of that.
Yes, her real name is Jean McLean. She's fantastic. You know, she's, I think she's a little bit retired now, but she's done a lot of good work, and we love working with her.
Just a beautiful song. I'm still stunned by it. Someone in chat, it brought to mind... you know, remember Etta James, the Disconet remix of Etta James doing "Blowin' in the Wind"? It brought that to mind from one of the chatters who was listening to the track we just played, just because of the feel of it. It's really a hell of a song. It's just amazing.
Wow, Disconet. I haven't heard that in so long. I was on the last issue of Disconet ever. How weird is that? It wasn't even... Wow, what was his name?
Mike Wilkinson was the guy who started it.
Wow,
and he passed. He died. He's one of the early ones who died of AIDS. It's a shame. He's such a nice guy.
So many people lost. So many.
Yeah, exactly.
People.
So many. You're right. And Disconet, of course, is legend. I hold it in the same esteem I do Tom. That was the end-all and the be-all. Now, Hot Tracks, of course, is wonderful, but somehow Disconet...
Which is out there right now, which I've got to give so much kudos and so much thanks to, is Promo Only. And they actually have helped make the Save the Love 207 a major hit. And right in their next issue, they're putting out my current hit, Live Like You Were Dying, which is so fantastic. And they have the video out of To Save the Love 207. They're... as great as Hot Tracks, if not better, or Disconet, but they're carrying it on to the new generation. And they're really making such strong headway because they're using really great music, and they really judge it. You really got to work to be on them, and to be chosen to be on there is such an honor. And I just got to say, hey, thank you guys at Promo Only. You are the ultimate. Thank you, Dave Canalti. You're excellent. Yay!
Well, I must tell you, too, that the chat room is demanding that I get a copy of The Rose, your dance version. Everybody wants to hear it. Maybe when Mr. Sokolov gets back, we can ask him.
You know
him
what?
For our...
I would love you to even speak to Miss Katie Agresta, who is the singing teacher to the stars. And without her, I would have no voice. She teaches Annie Lennox, Phoebe Snow, Jon Bon Jovi, Steven Tyler, Carole King. I mean, the list is endless. I mean, it's amazing just working with her. And... she is just the most marvelous person and the most marvelous vocalist and the most fantastic singing teacher I've ever known and a best friend.
Wonderful. Well, please, please recommend her to us. I would love to have her on. And I need to tell you that we have a caller. VJC would like to speak to you guys.
Oh,
welcome,
yay.
VJC.
Hey, Ernest.
Welcome.
And hi,
hey, VJC.
Tom.
Hello.
How you doing, Tom and Ernest? Tom Moulton.
Yes.
Great mixes, remixes on the on his work. I'm a big fan of yours for many, many years. I've been playing many of your remixes on Disco 93.5. I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm also in New York. So just letting you know. And Ernest, I heard your latest stuff. It's great. Great stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. I just thank you so much for playing me.
No, the importance of being, I just heard that. I will be playing that on Disco 93.5. I think that is a great
jam. Oh, yeah, that's available now. You can even get it for digital download. You know, it's surprising that a lot of people don't know about that album, but it's there, it's out there, and I'm really proud of that album.
Well, I just heard the whole album myself for the last 24 hours. I've been, you know, not in the last 20, in other words, I've been hearing the last couple of days.
Uh-huh.
And it's great stuff. I'm going to see if I can put some stuff together and send you another mega mix or something like that.
Oh, my gosh. I love the mega mixes.
All right. I mean, not like what Tom does. I mean, you know, he blows me away. I mean, I don't think I can ever do work like he does.
You mean you're not going to come into the studio and point at me? But you know what? I think on this new album, I do need some Tom Moulton updated pointers. And I just know exactly where they're going to go, and I know exactly a couple things he's going to say already. I know it. And I've already said it to Elliot, my co-producer, who you're going to have on the show, Peter. And we're waiting for it.
Well, yes, I'm looking forward to having that, too. Now, he's scheduled not next week, but I believe Tuesday of the week after that. One moment, let me check here. He is scheduled for the 23rd. Elliot.
Right, which is the day before we start our massive marathon recording session on the 24th through November 2nd. I'm doing all vocals here in New York City for the new album Eternally.
Wonderful.
Studios at Studio 77.
Well, he's a remarkable
he's
person. I have enjoyed speaking
right now doing a film score, I believe.
Ah, really?
Yep.
Ah, he's a very talented man. Apparently, he's a composer and with
really
classical music, and he spans the whole spectrum.
Everything from film to musical theater to commercials to scoring to dance music. He does it all. He's brilliant.
Now, VJC, are you?
He's brilliant.
He is brilliant. VJC, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here, Peter.
Good. I was wondering. Are you like me? Are you totally awed by talking to these guys? I feel like...
obviously, I spoke to Ernest last 3-4 months ago. I was, obviously, how I met him is through Glenn Rivera. And when we talked, you know, here in New York through the phone, I mean, he seems to be such a great guy, and his music is just fabulous. And I've been featuring it on Disco 93.5, and then he was telling me that Tom Moulton remixed some of this stuff. And when I heard the Sooner or Later stuff, I said, wow, what a remix. Because I've had a lot of Tom Moulton's stuff from back in the day in the 70s.
Email that you sent about To Save the Love 207 was really quite incredible, VJ.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. You have that one? I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh,
the
To Save the Love. Remember the Tom Moulton mix that I sent you? And you
It's just, you know, I hear so many mixes and so many different versions.
The
I'm trying to remember all this
like,
stuff.
This song is the...
That sounds just like me, JC. How funny is that?
Good.
Yeah, that seems to me I remember seeing that email. Yeah, I seem to remember seeing that. I can confirm that he did say that. He, in fact, did say that.
A quick thing about to Tom Moulton.
What's that?
Yeah, I know. I've met also Bobby Vitaretti and Larry Sanders. Have you ever met them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, Bobby's no longer with us, so.
No, Bobby Vitaretti.
Oh, Bobby Vitaretti. Oh, I thought.
Right now.
I get mixed. I get Bobby and Bobby Gattadero and Bobby Vitaretti mixed up sometimes.
Right. Gattadero, he passed away, but Vitaretti's still around.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
I met him here in New York the last several months also, and also Larry Sanders. He came by from Frisco to meet Bobby. And
right.
and there's my picture and him is on with Bobby and Larry on the website, Disco 93.5. We met about a couple of weeks ago. So I'm just thrilled and honored to be talking to you and Bobby and Larry, the guys who really started the craze of disco mixing. I mean, obviously, I was back doing that stuff too, but I wasn't really known because I didn't really have the know-how of doing what you guys are doing. But like I said, I appreciate the type of work you guys been doing, especially, you know, when I hear it, I play it on my station. I've been still playing it. I think it's just timeless remixes that will, you know, that will go on forever and ever. It's just my opinion. I mean, even though I'm a DJ myself.
VJC, you go back to the DiscoNet days, right?
Yeah, I've heard his work that he's done on DiscoNet.
Right, and that's where I was going with that. Tom, have other people remixed your remixes on DiscoNet, or did you work? I'm trying to recall if you worked directly with DiscoNet. Did you do some of the DiscoNet remixes?
No, I didn't do any of them because. That's a good question. Why? I was in Philadelphia most of the time back in that day when most of those DiscoNet things were going.
Well, how did you feel about other people remixing your remixes? Because I know you have to be on, you have to be remixed on DiscoNet. I can't call to mind a track, but you just must be.
I'm trying to think of one that was done, and I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Well, I know there is because I have pulled up the DiscoNet. I don't have it in front of me now, but I pulled up the DiscoNet discography, you know, that lists every, and I've run your name, and it, you know, it you know, stops on your name. So I know you're in there somewhere. So I'm definitely going to have to find that out. I'd love to know, you know, who dared touch Tom Moulton?
One song that everybody always wanted to remix was Dr. Love, and I always said good luck because that was a very difficult song to do.
Well, the last person who really remixed it was Shep Pettibone. Back in the I think early 80s. You ever heard
that? Well, someone else did also. What were those two guys? I'm trying to think now. My God.
Eminem. Morales.
No. In fact, I see John Morales all the time.
It wasn't Morales. I'm trying to think myself.
I'm trying to think of those two guys. I can't think of it right now.
The Latin Rascals.
No.
I'm just trying to think. Off the top of my head.
Was it CNC? I think CNC Music Factory remixed Dr. Love.
I think so. I don't
know.
So many guys who remixed that song. I mean, you could be right. I got to look at my archives myself. I'm not in front of my archives, so I don't know. I just can't remember. There's so many different remixes, so many different people remixed so many stuff. It wasn't. I think you're right. I think it could have been a CNC. I think they also did Dr. Love. But I could remember the last person who really did a remix on that was Shep Pettibone, but. I think you could be right that CNC did that, CNC Music Factory.
Well, you know, this is funny to me. Last night we did a show on aging and how it relates to the LGBT community, and this sounds just like the sort of conversation we would all have in our rocking chairs sitting in front of shady pines.
You mean I don't remember?
Who did? Who mixed it? No. Oh,
I'm not to get the young in here.
Oh my, such history. VJC, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
In leaving, hey Tom, it's been nice talking to you. And
same here.
We'll be talking.
Okay, VJ, I great to talk to you.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. And I want to. They're just more. I desperately want to get this music is so wonderful. I desperately want to get to it all. And which is, you know, normally I never just say goodbye to a caller. Normally I chat with them all night. But I'm sure VJC understands this stuff has got. But we just a little while ago we talked about your voice teacher was a coach of taught Phoebe Snow. Did I get that right?
She still teaches Phoebe Snow, and we. All continues to train because it's like working out. You got to keep doing, or you got to keep dancing. You got to keep always doing what you do. Like right now, currently, I'm learning to work for my new album that I'm recording. As I said, I start my vocals on the 24th of October, and I'm doing them through November 2nd. So right now, I'm currently doing all the pre-production matrixing vocal work on that, and that really. It's like working out your voice so you're ready when you go into the studio.
Well, we have a duet that's been uploaded to the studio, The Fugitive of Love. Now, tell us about that track, because I really wanted to get to that song this evening. That, with Phoebe Snow, it's got to be fabulous. Tell us about that track,
very
and Tom, too.
Story. Phoebe was a dear friend of Brian and mine, and best friends with Katie, and as I said, she was both of our voice teachers. And we all came up with the idea that we should do a duet on the Importance album. Just like on most albums, there is a duet, as there's going to be a duet on this new album, Eternally, but I cannot say who it's with. It has to be somebody of a great stature, and Phoebe, as you know, is a Grammy Award winner, and is an amazing vocalist as well as an amazing person. And writing with her was just one of the most fantastic situations I've ever been in as a writer, because her and Steve Skinner and myself sat down. She opened the book she originally wrote Poetry Man in, and on one side of the page were the lyrics to Poetry Man. And she told us the true story about what inspired her to write the song Poetry Man, as you know, which was a big 70s hit for her.
That was a wonderful song.
Wonderful, amazing song, which is still a classic hit to this day. And on the other side, we did an answer to the song, Poetry Man, which was The Fugitive of Love. Now,
really?
Poetry Man was, it's not really a great, pretty story, if you know the true story. It's a heartbreak story. And it's somebody who's stolen her heart away and walked out of her life. And that's what we carried on with The Fugitive of Love. We took that story and... I don't want to say that The Fugitive of Love is an angry song, but it's definitely, it definitely pushed some boundaries, and some people are really, it's either you love it or you hate it. It's one of those songs, but we decided to go all the way with it, and Tom came in, and when Tom came in, he just took it right over the top. He did not hold anything back, and what he did with it, he did all this beautiful orchestration over the top, but when you hear those vocals, it's almost like we are not competing, but we are, there's an argument going on between us in those vocals, and the vocal arrangements were so intricate in the way that we had to do them and lay them, and the way that Tom mixed it was so perfection. I am so proud of it.
Tom, were you in the studio? Were you actually in the studio when Phoebe was singing with... How did that work?
No, I wasn't there for her recording.
No, she wanted to work alone with just Steve and I. She was very, very strong about that. She
really?
Didn't want any pressure. She was going through a lot of things with her daughter, which her daughter has passed away. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, my.
Which is a great loss again. And she just really just wanted to have a very, very safe environment to go and do this record.
What are you trying to say about me, Ernest?
Yeah, well, no.
A safe environment where there's no pressure. I got to remember that.
Where there's nobody shaking their fist.
Oh, God.
A safe environment. I got to remember that.
You know what? I'm just going to let you loose on the back, boys, this time.
Safe environment.
I know there's going to be more, but in this next record.
Well, before we go much further, I desperately want to hear this. And
it's
Phoebe
actually
Snow,
a mini musical within itself.
Phoebe's wonderful. Phoebe is singing this in a safe space with Ernest Cole and then
first dance record ever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's interesting. Interesting. Well, I can't wait to hear it, and I know it's magical. Bob, if you had run The Fugitive of Love, it's the duet with Phoebe Snow and Ernest Cole.
Thank you.
just wow. I have to agree with one of our chatters. It runs right out my nerve endings, she says, and it does mine too. And such a powerful song because we all feel that way. It is such a personal song. I don't think any of us have escaped life without feeling that way.
It was such an emotional song to do that I think you can understand why Phoebe and I needed to be isolated to do it, because we really had to become actors, kind of taking ourselves out of the body, our own bodies, and to portray those lyrics, because they're really serious lyrics that we're singing.
Well, you, by all means, yes, it's serious stuff, and it's, I can't begin to tell you the memories that it brought back to me, and people I know, and situations. It was a deeply personal song for me.
Yeah, very, very, very personal. And also, it's such a rangy song to sing. I can't even tell you how difficult some of those vocal calisthenics, I will call them, that we both did in that record were to execute. It was a work of art and a work of love. We kind of needed to express ourselves onto tape, and that's what we did. And Tom took it and made it magic.
Well, one of the chatters is pointing out that she loves the layers, that there's so much happening many layers.
We did all of those vocals ourselves, just Phoebe and I. We had to layer and layer and layer and layer and layer. And it literally was about 5 days of just doing vocals. But it was 5 days of joy. It was just 5 days of joy of working doing it. It was so amazing working with that woman, and because she's such an artist. And there was tears, there was laughter, there was just emotion. Everybody was there. You know, it was just, Brian was there. It was just a wonderful time in my life in history. And I'm so glad it's captured on this album, the importance of being, that is, you know, now been made available by Unitas Records as one of their catalog albums. It's available for digital download at www.theoutclub.com. You can go right there right now and get it. I just am very proud of it.
Well, Tom, what was it like remixing something that's that powerful? Surely, I mean, someone with your background, you knew right away that the depth of that song. How do you approach something like that?
I don't know. I've always had that ability to be able to sort of hear it in my head the way it's supposed to sound. I mean, I don't really quite understand that to this day, but you know, whenever I hear something, you know, I say, oh, I'm going to work on that. I almost hear how it would sound finished in my head, and I try to explain it to somebody, and I go, don't you hear that? Well, no, maybe if you mix it, I can understand what you're talking about. And then usually I get, oh, now I understand.
Yes, which
and that's
reminds
why
me.
He will not let me hear things until they're done, which drives me insane. Because
a lot of times, you know, Ernest will say, "Well, I don't like this, and I don't like that." I said, "Ernest, you have to wait till it's finished to understand where I'm going with it."
It'd be like making
so
a soup, and you've got like, you know, just a couple things in, but you know, everything's not in the soup yet, so you don't know what's there.
Well, like with Steve, I'd always say, "I'm hearing this part," and then I'd say, "Just do this." And he would look at me sometimes and say, I don't get it. And I go, I hum the part. I go, this is what I want to hear, and I want to hear it done with a string, or I want to hear it done with a horn. And I mean, it was, and finally, after a while, he just learned to trust me on it, you know.
Totally.
That's amazing.
And completely. And the energy between the two of them is magnificent. Steve Skinner, our other co-producer, who is so brilliant, who is the
most. Well, he'd go right along. He would latch on. When I explained something, he would go right with it, and he knew where I was going with it. It was really amazing.
I mean, his work is really well represented with the musical Rent. He did all the musical direction and arrangement.
No, he's great.
For that. And won a Pulitzer for that work.
Well, Tom, this reminds me of something I read about you earlier. There was a particular remix that you did years and years ago, and I wish I had it in front of me what the song was, but basically the artist went on like they didn't like it because it was too long, or it wasn't what they wanted, or whatever their problem was. Then shortly after that, it became a huge hit. Then they went out telling everybody, oh, we recorded it that way.
I was so mad over that. That was BT Express, Do It Till You're Satisfied.
Ah. It reminds me of your wisdom of being able, and it reminds me of, you know, for example, Ernest wanting to know, and I'd be the same. What is it? But, you know, the wisdom of having done it.
You want to hear the work. You lay all these tracks down, and you want to hear it. You know what I mean? And it's like, I want to hear it. And you don't know, and you're getting the show idea in your head.